The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gay. Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparic.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Patton.
Peasley,
Pedersen, Pedersen, Peterson,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
excuse
Shepperson, excused, Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Ronish,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Pedersen excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
Please stand and join me in the morning prayer with Reverend Robin Chance.
Let us pray. Most holy God, the source of all good desires, all right judgments, and all just works, give to us, your servants in the House of Representatives of the State of Wyoming, that peace which the world cannot give, so that our minds may be fixed on the doing of your will for the people of this state, this country, and the world. Provide us, we pray, strength and courage to conquer any fears that misguide our thoughts and to focus on the good and holy lives which you have put ever before us through the wisdom, knowledge, and blessings you have bestowed upon us. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance.
Thank you.
We're at that order of business, Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 7th, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
And today we have as our Doctor of the Day, Dr. Doug Parks from Cheyenne, and Nurses of the Day, Annette Cantlin and Lori Morgan from the Wyoming State Hospital in Evanston. Welcome. Representative Juana Turdan.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
Thank you, brothers and sisters of the 61st. Up in our North Gallery today, we have some people from my home county. They're all high school juniors, and they're here as part of junior leadership of Laramie County. If you'd please make them feel welcome.
We're at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate Joint Resolution 2 engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Crone, Peasley, no. Barbudo, Green, Nicholas, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate Joint Resolution 5 engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, no. Barbudo, Green, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 7D1, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Teeters, no. Connolly, Madden. Signed, Representative Brechtel, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 5, respectfully reports him back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanet, Zerdan, excused, Hunt. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 6, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanet, Zerdan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 7 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanet, Zerdan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 9 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanet, Zerdan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
Are there any re-referrals? Do you have a re-referral? What number is
Mr. Speaker, I would move that we refer Senate File Number 9 to Committee Number 2 as it has an appropriation.
It's been moved for re-referral of Senate File 9 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 163.
House Bill 163, introduced by Representative Stewart, an act relating to water produced from geological sequestration.
House Bill 163, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 184.
House Bill 184, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to labor and employment regarding minimum wage statutes repeal.
House Bill 184, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 207.
House Bill 207, introduced by Representative Crone, an act relating to protection of activities in private vehicles.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 207. And what I'm doing with this amendment is just trying to clean up the amendment that I brought yesterday that was passed. There were some questions as to whether or not it opened things up outside of the employer-employee relationship. And so it cleans that up by replacing individual with employee. So it makes it clear that it's the employer-employee relationship we're talking about. And then I changed the requirement for the sign to be posted at the parking lot to just the fact that the employer has to notify the employee in writing of the policy. I thought that the sign can be a cumbersome requirement, especially because it's not always clear where employees are going to park, and then you get into other questions of if customers and employees use the same parking lot and things. So my intent was just restore it to make sure that an employee can't be fired for having a gun in his locked car on their premises if the employer has notified him in writing, hasn't notified him in writing that that's against company policy. So I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Botten, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday I spoke at length about this bill. This amendment, however, removes my concerns about the infringement on personal property rights. I urge support of the amendment, and with the amendment, support of the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe this amendment is a friendly amendment, and I would urge the body to adopt it. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time, second time, prior to the sponsor, Representative Croker?
Call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 207, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 207 has been adopted. Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I withdraw second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 207.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 207 has been withdrawn. House Bill 207 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 208.
House Bill 208, introduced by Representative Shepardson, an act relating to off-road vehicle registration exemption.
House Bill 208, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 235.
House Bill 235, introduced by Representative Roscoe, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding natural gas vehicles.
House Bill 235, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 241.
House Bill 241, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to statewide assessment for school districts.
House Bill 241, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 246.
House Bill 246, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to National Guard disposal of land.
House Bill 246, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 248.
House Bill 248, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to crimes and offenses, unlawful protesting at a funeral, amendments.
House Bill 248, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 251.
House Bill 251, introduced by Representative Brechtel, an act relating to public health and safety, abortion, ultrasound information.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, during general file yesterday, there were some issues raised in the section. I wish to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 251, and I'll explain it. Yesterday, during general file, there were some issues raised on a number of fronts from the standpoint starting on line 11 of page 1, 35-6-119. What I intend to do with this amendment is to correct some of the incorrect language that occurred in this section, and it removes also some conflict that exists with other statutes that was described well by the good representative from District 41. The basic other thing that it does, it takes the time clock or stopwatch requirement out of the thing, and it still requires an ultrasound be offered. And I guess when it's all done, it seems like it addresses the concerns of citizens from both sides of the issue. So if you go down to line number 13, the way this will read now is, on this page, it says, except in the case of a medical emergency, is carried over to the next page. But what that does by eliminating everything after emergency is that the requirement of a specific number of hours and the difficulty we talked about, or the workability of that, is gone, but it's prior to. And then the other thing that was wrong in this was there's language in there saying that there's an abortion being performed on an unborn child, and the abortions are performed on the pregnant woman, not the unborn child. So that's why that was changed. Okay, so then anyway, starting off on page 2 then, my amendment will say the physician or qualified person shall inform the pregnant woman that she has a right to view an ultrasound, and then you write period. And then it's done, and it connects up at that line 4 with what we've done in the standing committee amendment. So the end of this section, all the way down to line 13, in conjunction with this amendment and the standing committee amendment, is gone down to line 13 and starts at line 3. So line 3 to 13 is gone. Then the other thing that I've noticed that doesn't make sense is if you look at Romanette I on number 17, it says this section shall not apply to an abortion performed with the intent to preserve the health of an unborn child. Well, that's just a contradiction in terms. You don't, you know, you might have a Caesarean section to preserve the health or life of an unborn child, but not, you don't perform an abortion to preserve the life or health of an unborn child. So I've, because it doesn't make any sense, I've struck that. And then the next Romanette I, that says is replaced by a non-viable fetus to take care of the nomenclature that has been expressed during general file yesterday. So anyway, I think this addresses some of the incorrect verbiage, the language problems that were in this section that we talked about, and it addresses the concerns of both sides of the argument. You know, one side of the argument says we insist on having an ultrasound be offered to anyone prior to having an abortion. This is maintained in my amendment. The other side had objections to the cumbersome and the workability of the time clock and things like that. And then the rest of it was simply cleaning up language. So that's not, that it is what it is. It's up for you to consider, and I hope you'll be able to support it so that we can get on to other bills. Thank you.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask the body to resist this, mainly because I think some of the statements that were just said are scientifically not sound. If you go to page 2, Romanette, little I, save the life or preserve the health of an unborn child. Certainly, there are times medically when a woman may be pregnant with twins and one twin dies in the utero. And that twin does have to be removed for a number of medical reasons. So that certainly does happen. It's a medical reality. So I don't think scientifically it would be appropriate to take that out. So for that reason, I would say resist the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The cleanup here seems a little overzealous, but I know the heart of my good friend from House District 40, his heart's probably in the right place. I'd like to remind people that this is model language that's been used in other states. There's There's about 32 other states that have something similar. And as far as the running time clock issue, how many people would rush to the hospital to have a heart transplant or any other medical procedure that they would actually have a little bit of time to think about? I don't think the 24 hours is onerous, especially given the fact that the person does not have to make two trips to the abortion provider under the current language. As has already been suggested, an abortion at viability can be performed with the intent of saving a viable baby, given that maybe the mother has a tumor or something, some emergency that needs to take place right away. I would also suggest that I have an amendment that's coming that I think really does address the language, at least the language that the good representative from House District 40 had mentioned was a concern to him earlier. So I just ask you to resist this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you serve on Committee Number 10 or Committee Number 2, you probably know that half the births in the state of Wyoming are Medicaid births. So, you know, either way, the language is speaking on or against the amendment, you know, it's up to the body. I just want the body to realize that there are costs involved, and I'm willing to trade those 7 ultrasounds in that one county for over 3,000 ultrasounds from women that...
Representative Esquivel, I'm gonna suggest or ask that you to explain why your thoughts are germane to this particular amendment. If I'll give you that opportunity to explain that, but I've tracked this amendment through, and I'm not sure that...
Mr. Speaker, the amendment does take out some language, and like the sponsor said, there's model legislation in those other states. In those other states, there's model legislation as well. When you have that type of language in statute, it expands the benefits. So under the benefit plan that we have under SCHIP, when you expand the definition, you expand the benefits. That's the only point I'm trying to make. Well, I'd say I'm against the amendment for the bill.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of other comments, and I don't think this actually does what the sponsor really thought it might do, but on the second page, line 17, we strike the words saving the life or preserve the health of the unborn child, and this is actually stricken as an exception, which seems would be indifferent than where he was intending to move. But then even further on line 20, the words non-viable fetus as a replacement for dead unborn child. This now says that someone should tell the mother that she should have a right to see an ultrasound if she wants, unless she's going to have an abortion. I don't think that's the intent at all, but a non-viable fetus is anything, live or dead. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Right. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two things, I guess. If you go down to page 1, line 15, if the language of an abortion being performed on an unborn child, if this is model language, I guess I'd have to see it. I mean, is this not
it's not correct language. And likewise with line 17 on page 2, save the life. The section shall not apply to an abortion performed with the intent to save the life or preserve the health of an unborn child. That's a contradiction in terms. Again, the amendment is what it is. I bring it for consideration of the body, and I'd urge your support. Thank you.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 251, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 251 has failed. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and with my apologies to the staff that spent time drafting it, I'd like to withdraw second reading amendment number 2.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 251 has been withdrawn. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 251 and ask for your positive consideration. After the passage of the bill yesterday, and reflecting on what we had before us, I did a little additional research and am offering these amendments in an effort to make this measure more inclusive and compassionate. And so if starting with line 14 of the amendment, the way that this would now read would be prior to an abortion being performed, the physician or a qualified person assisting the physician shall, number 1, inform the pregnant woman of the medical and psychological risks of abortion. Number 2, inform the woman of the medical and psychological risks of alternatives to abortion, including the risks of pregnancy and childbirth. Number 3, inform the woman that she has a right to view an ultrasound. Number 4, direct the woman to available counseling and other resources. And number 5, discuss birth control options to prevent unintended pregnancy, including availability, risks, and efficacy. You'll note that it does remove the 24 hours, but in my mind, this allows for a much longer period of time, and you know that it could be far more than 24 hours, but leaves that up to the physician and the person seeking treatment or seeking the procedure. And I also note that it's been mentioned before that there are about 32 other states that contain model language, and in my sort of cursory research of those bills in other states, in all of the ones that I looked at, it did include language that they needed to also discuss the risks and of pregnancy and childbirth, as well as the abortion procedure itself. So I think this kind of brings it in line with what is also in other states. Then, as you continue down through the amendment, the other main change is on pages 2. There's some deletions, but starting on about line 14 of the bill, this section would now read, this section shall not apply to an abortion performed to Number one, to save the life or preserve the health of the mother. Number two, and actually, I think a good point was made in the discussion of the previous amendment. And although I removed to save the life or preserve the health of the unborn child, I'm compelled by that testimony. And if this amendment is adopted, I would bring a third reading amendment to reinsert that line so that number two would say save the life or preserve the health of the unborn child. And then, but in this amendment, the next one is to remove a non-viable fetus. Number three would be remove an ectopic pregnancy. And then number four pulls in some language that already exists in our statutes under the exceptions to the prohibition against using any state-appropriated dollars for abortions, and pulls in that exception. So number four would read, when the pregnancy is the result of A, incest as defined by Wyoming Statute 6-4-402, or B, sexual assault as defined by Wyoming Statute 6-2-301, if the assault is reported to a law enforcement agency within 5 days after the assault or within 5 days after the time the victim is capable of reporting the assault. And then finally, this amendment does remove lines 12 through 22 on page 3, which is changing because this amendment allows for an exception to save the life or preserve the health of the mother. The sections on lines 12 through 22 is setting a higher bar that I thought was unnecessarily harsh, in my opinion. So we still, and also because the whole medical emergency is removed from the first part with this amendment. So, Mr. Speaker, with that, I would stand for questions or call for the question.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising against the amendment, and I really do appreciate the efforts on this. I think there's some things I would like about this, but one thing I would suggest, that there's aspects about this amendment that really are outside the scope of the bill's title and what this was intended to do. Mr. Speaker, as far as setting the bar high and harsh, that's arguable because, first of all, we're not intending to make anything hard and harsh here. All we are asking in the original bill is to make sure that women know that they have a right to see an ultrasound if they want to, and do it with a 24-hour waiting period, which I honestly do not believe is onerous. I urge you to defeat the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To push back gently, in our existing statutes, I don't have them in front of me, but it does allow for exceptions when the woman's health is endangered. And in the existing language of this bill, it redefines, it defines with much greater specificity that the medical emergency can only mean that it is necessary to prevent her death. and that, or only if it has a substantial and irreversible impairment of a major bodily function. That seems to me a much, you know, there are many circumstances of, you know, disease considerations or other things where a woman's health could be very compromised by continuing an unintended pregnancy, that does not rise to the level of a major bodily function impairment. So that is why I feel that this is with some merit. Thank you.
All those, excuse me, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 251, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 251 has failed. Representative Brechtel. Division being called, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 251, please stand. Those opposed? Second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 251 has been adopted. Representative Brechtel.
Apologize, Mr. Speaker, for my lack of preparedness. Mr. Speaker, I bring a second reading amendment number 4 and ask for your consideration. You know, we've come a long ways with this, and I really appreciate the efforts of many on this floor, even those who may not fully agree with or may not even fully understand what I'm attempting to do. But basically what this amendment does is take us back to a place of reset, deleting the previous amendments. And what I do here is remove the language on page 1 that was a heartburn to the good representative from House District 40. My intent here is essentially to basically stay the course. All we want to do is put in front of this body an opportunity to make sure that women know that they can have an option to see an ultrasound to provide for just the very basic concerns. And the pushback that we generally get is a little bit sometimes chilling. But let me just offer this. We just had a recent grand jury report came out, a 281 page report regarding an abortion provider in the city of Brotherly Love, which provides an account of 40 years of this person basically preying on poor women, especially minorities. Delivering live, viable babies, then severing their spines with scissors. Basically an infanticide factory. It reports of overdosed patients with dangerous drugs, the spread of venereal disease by dirty instruments. It talks of perforated wounds and balls. And at least two occasions led to the deaths of two women. The report speaks of the clinic being unclean, unsterile, unlicensed workers, unsupervision, and illegal abortions. It speaks of cutting off babies' feet, saving them in rows and rows of jars.
Representative Brechtel, your amendment respectfully speaks to deleting the Madden, the Throne, and the Wallace, and also deleting some language on the unborn child. So I'm just going to ask that you stick to explaining specifically why you want to delete the amendment we just adopted, and why you want to delete the words on an unborn child, and why you want to delete the standing committee amendment, please.
I apologize, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate that. First of all, Mr. Speaker, as we change the language on page 2 to removable of an unviable child, for example, and we change that, I mean, we change the language to the removable of an unviable child, essentially that suggests that the only time that we would provide for that a woman might want to see an ultrasound is any time other than when she may be going to have an abortion. I believe that this amendment addresses the issue that the good representative was concerned about by removing the language on the first page that he was most concerned about. Secondly, Mr. Speaker, regarding the other amendment, the previous amendment, just to this, I would suggest that amendment is outside the scope of what this bill was intended, outside the scope of the bill title. And there are some things in there that admittedly are good, but at the same time, Mr. Speaker, it is not staying on point of what we were attempting to do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Korberg, Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of second reading amendment number 4, because I've looked over the amendment number 3 that we just adopted, and I'm trying to think of any instance the way this amendment reads under which a physician or a qualified person would ever have to offer up the information that's on third reading amendment pages 1 lines 14 through 32. I'm just not seeing where there would ever be an instance where that information would ever have to be offered up under that amendment. So, fourth reading amendment restores the original intent of the bill, and I would encourage my colleagues to adopt the fourth reading amendment and take this bill back to what its original intent was. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am speaking on and against the amendment with the provisions that we just passed and with the third reading amendment to restore the language of the that was brought up as a problem. And actually, if someone was inclined or wanted to visit with me about, we could even include the 24-hour prior. That's not a huge issue for me, but I think that the amendment we just passed provides a much more balanced and sensible road forward that is not biased one way or the other. And I would encourage you to defeat this amendment, and as it stands and with those differences, I could even support the bill.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the proposed amendment and against amendment number 3 that we just passed. I think a clear reading of the title of this bill and then a reading of the amendment number 3, they're inconsistent. And one of the guidelines that at least I have in my background here is you don't change an item with text if it's in the title. That's just not the way we do things. And I would encourage you to vote for amendment number 4, and maybe they can reconstruct something that is consistent with the title of this bill on maybe a third reading or another amendment. So I urge your support of amendment number 4.
For your first time, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When I look in the mirror, I see a lot of gray hair, and I get really kind of scared about that. And the only thing that when I think that I have the gray hair that I like is I no longer have young students come up and tell me the words that I just makes me terrified. And those words, I'm pregnant. And as a teacher, I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of those. My faith says that I should and I do counsel them to to take responsibility and have the child. But I've also been in a situation to where that life circumstances were so horrendous and that abortion, although something that I would not ever counsel someone to have, is a viable option. I think that Amendment number 3 goes in the right direction to give those people the opportunity, those women, let's be real specific, and their spouses or their partners, things to make the right choice for them. 24 hours doesn't seem like a long time, but it is my experience from dozens and dozens of these encounters is that they have already done hundreds and hundreds of hours. I speak against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Second time? Representative Brechtel.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I just urge the body to support this amendment. Let's stay the course. Let's just please vote aye.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 251, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 251 has failed. House Bill 251 having been read to division being called, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 251, please stand. I apologize. We just did, there were 27 ayes on that, so all of those that are now opposed to second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 251, please stand. Second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 251 has failed. House Bill 251 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, Shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 256.
House Bill 256, introduced by Representative Kraft, an act relating to domestic and sexual violence regarding Wyoming safe homes.
House Bill 256, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 259.
House Bill 259, introduced by Representative Days Wanitzer, an act relating to taxation and revenue, ethanol producer tax credit.
House Bill 259, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 260.
House Bill 260, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to industrial siting, financial resources.
House Bill 260, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a consent list consisting of House Bill 90, 194, 225, 227, 232, 243, 252, 253.
Would anyone like to remove any of the bills from the consent list at this time? The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 90, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to motor vehicle restoration, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 194, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to next of kin driver's license, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 225, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to charter schools, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 227, introduced by Representative Gay, an act relating to education regarding constitution instruction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 232, introduced by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to workers' compensation impairment ratings, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 243, introduced by Representative Crone, an act relating to human remains regarding the training of search and rescue dogs, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 252, introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to the administration of government regarding review of state executive department positions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 253, introduced by Representative Kasparik, an act relating to nursing, the Wyoming Nurse Practice Act Amendment, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay,
aye. Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley, Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 90, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 194, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 225, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Botten? aye to no. Patton, aye to no. Lubno, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Crone, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Blickley, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Petroff, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Berger, aye to no. Bonner, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Bird, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Barbudo, aye to no. Goggles, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Vronish, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 34 ayes, 24 noes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 227, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 232, are there any changes? Korberg, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Bird, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 ayes, 14 noes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 243, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 252, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 253, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 90, 194, 225, 227, 232, 243, 252, and 253 have passed the House. We are at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 191.
House Bill 191, introduced by Representative Stepson, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding wind power taxation, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Mr. Chairman Simlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 191 and will remove it at the appropriate time. Members of the House, I just want to take an opportunity to go back and revisit this very important issue that we had a great discussion on Committee of the Whole. I just offer you a perspective that I have. I think I sat in on five committee meetings, including a special subcommittee meeting that dealt with this issue. And I also have offered not only my perspective, but also offer you a couple handouts that you have on your desk in print that will allow me to explain kind of my position and why I would ask some resistance on us moving forward with House Bill 191 at this time. The study that you have before you in a comparison of 11 Western states was commissioned by the executive branch last summer, and it was a thorough analysis of what I would consider be the base cost case of how the states in the all around in the Rocky Mountain region compare in terms of how do they compete for bringing in or the incentive for wind development to come into our state. And the case analysis was really using this basic items, and it suggested that there would be 99 megawatts in a development, in other words, 66 1.5 megawatt turbines, and the cost that was estimated for this type of a development would be $247,500,000. And the amount of megawatts that's produced in this would be 329,551 megawatts. Now, what this cost-based analysis did is to say, if we had this type of a wind development that I just described planted in each of these 11 Western states, the bar graph that you have before you indicates how we compete based on our current law. And our current law simply says that we have a $1 per megawatt excise tax on generation, and that the sales tax on the manufacturing of new equipment will be removed at the end of 2011. So with the current law that we have in place, I would suggest to you, and you could look at that bar graph and say, Wyoming is very competitive under the current scenario. There's one state that is very close to what we have in terms of what we believe are base cost. So the other thing that I want to draw some comparison to here is House Bill 191. When we consider the provisions that's laid out in here in 191, we suggest that on the generation tax, that we do a discount over a period of time, up to 20 years. And that troubles me for a couple of reasons. One is, what we're saying is, let's trust that these wind development operations will be in effect for that period of time. I don't have any doubt that they will likely be there. But I'd also point out what a huge impact the federal production tax credit has on the viability of wind generation any place in this country. And you could see that. That's highlighted in that same bar graph. I think the total is about $35 out of the 80 in Wyoming. The strength of the viability of that is based on that production tax credit. Now, we don't have much control over what goes on in Congress, and if something shifts in that policy at the federal level, we could stand to see some demise over time in this wind development. So we're asking that we take this discount of accepting this generation tax, the 25 cents for the first few years, and then it goes to $15 and all the way up to $3. At the end of that 20-year period, you know, will they still be there? That is when the bulk of this money comes in to finance, you know, this wind development. And you know, I can tell you that when this issue first came up, I strongly support a low taxation for our wind developers. The number that first came to us a year ago was $3. We talked about it in committee. A couple of us had it amended down to 50 cents for a generation tax, and it ended up at $1, and you know, and I'm fine with that. So I'm just a little bit concerned that as we do this discount on the excise tax, we're reaching way out there to a point where we're not sure that money is going to be collected for the benefit of the citizens of the state. for that purpose. So I urge some caution there. And the second thing that I have a little bit of concern about is with the amendments that we put on in and we talked about on second reading, was on the impact assessment. That's what the sales tax is used for. And we heard repeatedly in every discussion we had about wind taxation lobbying from local governments, and they said, we want that money, we want it up front. And this really flies in the face of that issue to say that, trust us, we're going to pay a little bit up front, and we'll probably be there to pay the rest of it when it gets up to that $3. So it really is kind of contrary to what our testimony was in terms of our local governments in support of this. So, but the other issue with respect to the industrial siting or the impact assistance is, you know, we had a proposal on second reading to take that out of the legislative stabilization account, and that didn't make it. So now what's in this bill right now is that there's going to be a diversion on the general fund share of that excise tax, and it's going to be diverted and go into that proposal. So I'm just a little bit cautious. I just tell you, I don't see why we need to do this. I think the current plan that we have in place was well thought out. It demonstrates, based on the information that you have in front of us, that Wyoming can compete on this basis. It keeps our local governments whole in the distribution that they would have for some assistance for impact. And I just think I don't see any compelling reason for us to change. So with that, Mr. Speaker, that completes my comments for this time.
For your first time, Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Earlier today, you no doubt found an email that I sent out to you, and it was probably way more information that you needed than you needed for this. But what this was for was it was just a model that we had gone through during the interim in the Revenue Committee, dealing with a number of different scenarios for wind and policy towards wind that the state might consider. And what I want to impress upon you, I guess, in this part of the discussion is the fact that there is a base case that's it's in the middle, like in page 30 or some 35, somewhere in there, and it shows what the essence of the base case is. And this points to the fact that the base case is based upon the tax that we have in place right now. And in a nutshell, what it is the sales tax for the equipment and the construction of the facility. And then it goes down to that goes away, and then you've got the generation tax. It starts 3 years after the operation begins generating electricity. So you got that little bit of the reason we did that way back was that it gives firms a 3-year window there where they can kind of recoup for the costs of that sales tax for the construction up front. Now, what I have passed out to you is, you'll see it's a pretty colored series of bar graph here, a series of bars on it with neighboring states, and it says scenario A, okay? And that's the scenario. Scenario A, the base case, is the case of comparing, and this is what we asked this consultant to do. We wanted to compare our competitive position to neighboring states, okay? So this is kind of the culmination, and, you know, if you go through that 66-page PDF that I sent out to you, you'll see this is one of the pages. I think it's page 36, but there's other pages that delve into the details behind it. Okay,
But what this particular graph that I've passed out to all of you in your boxes today illustrates is what we call the levelized bus bar cost breakdown. And that sounds like a lot of gobbledygook, but to make it easy for you, what this is the total cost, the amortized costs of the whole project to include, you know, all the costs and all the tax impacts that are associated with each of the states, and comparing that to those impacts in all those states with Wyoming situation. Okay. Now, if you look at the legend at the bottom, there's three convenient categories you can divide these up into. The first four are all, you might look at them as a negative cost because they're credits or tax breaks that states or federal governments will employ in the wind area to encourage the industry to get started. Now, those all appear below on the axis up there. Those four that I've just pointed out all appear on the bottom of this graph, okay? And then there's a payment in lieu of taxes, a pilot that applies to two of them that is also, so I guess you could say the first five of those. All right, so that's, and you'll see that, you know, you might say when you look at that, and I remember asking that last June when we went through it, is how come Wyoming's government, federal government subsidy isn't as high as other states? And that's, you know, if some of you are CPAs, you'll understand that part of the state or federal income tax and state income taxes are intertwined, and if we, you know, it says in the text, and you'll see that elsewhere, that because we don't have an income tax, the federal tax breaks don't work to the higher as high a degree as they do in other states. But you know, that's the way it is. And if you look at the bottom two in that legend, the O&M costs, that's operation and maintenance, and then there's the system and finance costs. Those two are in a special category because those represent the bigger blue bar plus that, what, the kind of a flesh-colored, whatever you call that color is. And that represents the basic cost to run one of these wind operations. And then those top, or I should say the ones in the middle, are the gross receipts tax, excise tax, sales tax, property tax, royal payment to landowner that is just there, but it's assumed to be a wash and it's zero for all the states. So anyway, let's just make it easy here. Property tax, sales tax, excise tax, gross receipts tax, all right? And they're all there on top, and they're the greenish ones and the smaller slivers on top, all right? So those are the state tax impacts, all right? And there's state tax impacts, there's state tax credits and stuff that also appear down below the axis, all right? So you'll see that at the when you add these all up, you have to add up all the costs that are above the axis, the zero axis, and then you need to deduct all of the, what do you call it, negative costs that are below the zero axis to come up with a net cost, so to speak, all right? So all the costs less the tax benefits, all right? Now, you'll see it appears in all of the blue sections here. There's a little red hyphen. You see that? That represents the net impact in all the states. And it also represents the numeric value you see at the top of all of the graphs. All right, you'll see our number is 82, all right? And you go over across all the different states. You can read them yourself so I don't have to get gaveled down for mentioning them. But you can see where they all are. And you can see that those of us on the committee that might have reviewed that this summer said, well, you know, we're pretty competitive already. There's one state, as you can see, north of us, that is slightly better, but when you look at the rest of them, we're all better. Now, you say, well, why is that? And one of the factors is because of the fact that we have better wind than most other states. And when you say better wind, what does that mean? I think the previous speaker might have talked a little bit about that net capacity factor, and that is a measure of the kind of the number of, I guess, indirectly it's the number of days that you can operate these things in this state compared to others. And we have, there's a number of different sources. That gets out to that other colored graph that we have there, where those numbers are affected by, you know, how much wind we have, how, I suppose it has something to do with how fast the wind blows, or maybe it also, too, if it blows too fast, that's a diss. You don't want that. But anyway, there's WPPC, NREL, and WREZ. These are all quasi-independent organizations that go out and evaluate wind, I guess. And what they found, generally speaking, as you look across all of these, that our wind is better than other wind. Now, you know, to be fair about it, the industry says, well, you know, your wind isn't as good as you think it is. It's good wind, but it's up in higher altitude, so it doesn't cut our blades as good or something. And so it may be an overestimate, but, you know, I refer back to the previous graph that I went over, and that shows that, you know, even if we're off by 10%, which I would very much doubt. I mean, even if it caused our levelized amortized costs to go from 82 to 92, we're still, you know, we're still in the ballpark. All right. So, you know, what is the problem with what our policy is now, ladies and gentlemen? And if you look on, I didn't run this one off, but you can look at it at your own leisure. On page 64 of the handout that I emailed to you of the PDF, it points out that the sales tax accounts for roughly 5% of the levelized cost. All right, and you might just, instead of looking on the computer form, just jot these down. This is the sales tax accounts for 5% of the levelized cost. Okay. The property tax accounts for 6% of the levelized cost, and it says that Wyoming's excise tax accounts for roughly 1% of the levelized cost. So going back through these again, you got 5% for sales tax, 6% for property tax, and 1% for excise tax, the generation tax that's in our present bill, or in our present law, I should say. Okay, the problem is the 5%, and the essence of the bill that's been before us, that's before us right now, is that the 5% is a front-end cost. And the notion here is that it's a hard cost to swallow because it has to be financed. Although it's only 5% of the levelized cost throughout the whole process, the amortization of it and the interest expense and so on amounts to 5%. And that this is the allegation that this makes us less competitive than we should be. All right? And what they want to do is reduce that 5% number down to 0%. But in return for that, they want to increase Wyoming's wind excise tax or generation tax up to 3%. All right, so it's trading off 5% for 3%. And what that necessitates is somebody to step up for taking care of at least a portion of that 5% at the time when the state and local governments have a need for that money, and that's when the industrial siting activities take place. And that's where this bill comes in right now, and where some of us have a problem with the state taking this step. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, it puts, since we're taking the place of the business firm in this 5%, it puts us, unfortunately, in a kind of a risk assumption position. And, you know, you say, well, we got lots of money and, you know, why not put $15 million in this and we'll get paid back if these wind operations are successful and we'll just be kind of an assistant in the process. But there's insidious things that you got to realize anytime you become a venture partner in something like this is because it will unknowingly exert a moral hazard on future legislatures on how they're going to look at a new wind operation. For example, if the first one or two turns out to be a bust and you're not very happy with it, it's going to have a deleterious effect on anyone else who might have a good plan that comes in. Or if we had a good effect and we said, well, we're getting part of this $15 million back into the stabilization account, we've got to go look for another one of these outfits because it helps our cash flow. In other words, we're not looking at them independently because we have a vested interest as venture partners in this. It's no more different, ladies and gentlemen, than the offer I made to my seatmate, the good man from District 19, and I asked him if he'd rather have from me a $100 bill today, or alternatively, I'd give him $15 a year for the next 10 years. Well, $15 a year for the next 10 years is $150, but unfortunately, he said, I'll take the $100 today. And what went through his mind, do you expect? First of all, he probably doesn't trust me. Second of all, he may not think I'm going to be solvent for 10 more years. Hopefully not, but he might have even thought, you know, you may not even be alive 10 more years. So there's all kinds of risks that he was taking. And it's not unlike the kind of risks when we assume a venture position and we take this return in installment payments. And, you know, of course, we're not taking all of the return in installment payments, but we're taking, as far as the levelized cost basis, we're taking 2 more percentage points so that the total cost that's related anyway to the state of South Dakota gets to be 6% for property tax and 3% for the generation tax, so a total of 9% instead of the present total of 12%. So I hope this helps. I didn't want this to go on as long as it did, but it's important that you understand where we are with today's statute and where it seems to be a stumbling block with this front-end money that is needed when these projects go into place. You know, I just don't think that local governments would be comfortable assuming the state is going to be on their side all the time if we happen to have a venture position in some of these future projects. If we're financing the industrial siting and we're trying to save a buck here and there, and we know that the more dollars we spend are our dollars for this front-end costs and the local governments come, that's why you're seeing some resistance, I think, on the part of local governments, at least from what I understand. So that's what I'll say for my first time. Thank you.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, for my first time as well. And ladies and gentlemen, I could paraphrase this in a few succinct points. And of course, this comes under the heading of what is my job? What is our job? And who do we work for? And let me remind you, right now we have a fair and equitable tax that addresses the needs of our citizens and our communities. The people that send us here, these are the people I work for. We have not been provided the data necessary, in my mind, to make a decision that what we have in front of us is more fair and equitable or even less fair and equitable. And to build on that, you know, we've had a lot of talk about the impact assistance. to remind you of a second reading amendment that we defeated that had an appropriation of $15 million. That appropriation was designed to front-load an impact assistance fund, which in my mind was the intention was clear to help out the district, the county that I come from, with a very substantial, very large project that's imminent, that if, in fact, we did not front-load this impact assistance fund, those dollars would not be available to my county, my district, for the very real and measurable impacts from this industrial development. I can assure you, though, I have not been provided the data necessary for me to make a decision, yay or nay, on that. And to further build on this impact assistance discussion, you know, if really the intention is to say, well, you don't really need that money, and we really need to change our Industrial Siting Act, you know, that's fair enough. We could have that discussion at a later time. But in my mind, we have to recognize the importance and benefits of the language in that Industrial Siting Act to meaningfully address the impacts of industrial development. And standing again, Mr. Speaker, in support of this third reading amendment and against the bill. Thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That question about what is my job here is probably is a good one to ask. And I hearken back to promises I made to voters that elected me and discussions I have with the folks I represent about diversifying our economy, about diversifying our tax structure, about stabilizing our tax structure, and about making our state a place that is viable for the long term, even after the minerals are gone. And I see this in my own community as an avenue of doing that. And if we have a tax system that is a barrier to new business, it's something we should take care of. And so we've heard here today that no, we're competitive with the other states, and you have the bar graphs in front of you. And I hearken back 2 years ago, I really jumped into this wind issue when I began work on the wind task force, and I hearken back to a meeting I had back then with a public utility that serves the northern part of the state, and they have some coal-fired plants up there, and they were explaining their development. And then they pointed to South Dakota and pointed, I think there were five or six total wind projects that they had on the board for development in South Dakota. And I said, why aren't you looking at Wyoming? You serve Wyoming customers. Why aren't you have other power facilities here. Why are you looking at Wyoming? And they said, no, we're not even looking at Wyoming. And I said, why is that? Wyoming's not competitive. It's too expensive to do business in Wyoming, and it's too uncertain to do business in Wyoming. That was the answer. And I take that as truth, because these are not people that were trying to get some sort of deal from us. They weren't. I mean, frankly, they had written off Wyoming as a state to do business in as a wind power generator. And so how do you square that up with a study that says we're competitive? And how do you square that up, the fact that we know we've had people in Ambush Alley working very hard to get a tax a restructuring, and that it is clear that those who want to do business in the state would rather have the proposal in 191 than the current system? How do you square that with the fact that we are competitive? Well, the way you do that is the E3 study and these great graphs that have been given to you, they leave out one key fact, and that is tax structure, not tax amount, tax structure. And if you take the tax amount, and as these studies do, and you look at a 20-year period, and you take X amount is paid over a 20-year period, yeah, we're competitive. But if you look at structure and say, oh, by the way, a good chunk of that is paid up front, boom, we're not competitive anymore, because then that $30 million tax burden becomes, in reality, a $65 million tax burden because of the finance costs of doing that. And that's the whole reason we brought 191 to you, and we fold those taxes together, and we structure them in a different way. And I also hearken back to one other conversation I had right as I began working on this wind issue, and there was a pounding of the drum that we need to tax wind like we tax minerals. And somebody pushed back on me on that and said, no, we need to tax, we need to look at each industry, recognize their strengths and their challenges, and tax each industry fairly in the context of the challenges they face. And that's what 191 does. Just a couple of quick points about it, and then I'll give way to the supporters of the amendment. Remember, we've got if you're going to look at our tax structure now, the sales tax spike, the high property taxes on the front end that trail off over the life of the project, I think of the prodigal son. And that's really what we're saying. We're saying give us our money up front, and then we'll go, you know, go live our life. Whereas if you have a system that is structured over time, we end up actually over the long term of making more money. And that's just looking at a 20-year time frame. I mean, if you look beyond this initial sales tax spike and you go on into the future past 20 years, clearly the $3 a megawatt hour is a huge advantage to the state, a huge advantage to the state and to our revenues. The other advantage of the proposal that's before you in 191 is simplicity. We're no longer discussing what does the sales tax apply to. We're no longer figuring out all those sorts of gimmicks to get around sales tax. We're saying you generate X amount of power, you're charged $3 for that. Simplicity, another thing we should build into our tax scheme. And finally, you look at this, and it actually is almost an inflation-proof type tax scenario, because as efficiencies get better, as they repower the towers, and by the way, they're going to pay sales tax on that repowering under the current bill, 191, you get, and as their generation capacity grows, the tax generated grows. And so as we look at what is my job, I think our job is to develop a tax system that is fair, that treats community, that recognizes the needs of communities, and we do that here. Remember that the amendment we passed yesterday was the distribution that the local government said, this is what we want, and that's what we passed. This is what we want. And so we have a period where we hear of an imminent project, but let me tell you, anybody who's building transmission is going to be years away. So we're going to have years of tax flows into this impact assistance fund before we have a project to fund out of it. I would just ask you to weigh again. Do we want a tax system that's fairer, that's more stable, that's built for the long term? If we do, I would ask you to defeat the amendment and support House Bill 191.
Chairman Childers, for your first time.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I won't say speaker. I saw the change. Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment and for the bill, the previous speaker told you a lot of reasons why we set up issues like this to bring in a business. In my 14 years in the legislature, my first 4 years were on the Revenue Committee. We talked about Tax Reform 2000, provide a stable tax structure. We also brought in somebody that explained what businesses look for when they move into the state. In fact, I asked them to come because I think, if I remember right, it was the Energy Commission that actually had heard from this same person. And, of course, he gave the four reasons why that what a company looks at when they come into the state. One is the transportation, and we've continually tried to address that, in particular the airlines. Two is the telecommunication. Three is a stable workforce. We've tried to address that. And four is a stable tax structure. And this bill attempts to do that somewhat. It's not perfect, but so what? It makes us attractive to the wind power people. I will say that that expert that testified to us 10, 12 years ago was, if we did not have a stable tax structure, that scares them away. And I think the previous speaker alluded to that somewhat. So what I'm saying is 191, I believe, addresses some of the things necessary to provide a somewhat stable tax structure. Again, not perfect. And what people say that we lose at the start of it, I think you need to remember, so what? If they didn't come here, none of that would matter. So what we're getting from them later on means an awful lot. And I think you need to take that into consideration. The wind energy business is a huge business in the Midwest or in the Rockies. And there are a lot of companies building these units. And I think 191 sets up a structure that makes us somewhat attractive. And, you know, I could go into the lifestyle, but I don't think that's necessarily it for this particular industry. But you need to remember that it also brings in that there's lots of people that can work on it, high-salaried repair people. In fact, I got a neighbor down the street, just because of his background, he had to close the doors on his business of selling automobile parts, and he's making lots of money working on this stuff now. So it develops additional work. The additional power lines, should we develop enough wind power units? There's any number of reasons. So I would strongly urge that you pass 191 and against the amendment. Thank you.
For your first time, Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the bill. I mean, on and for the bill and against the amendment. It's been such a long time since we started this, I forgot where we were at. Briefly, Mr. Chairman, the players who are involved in this are the cities and counties and the state in conjunction with the industry. This bill is a representation of all of those parties coming together and making the best deal possible, the best agreements that we can with what we have right at this moment. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. But it will allow an industry who is seriously hampered in thinking about curtailing most of its efforts in this state to continue with their projects, which employ thousands of people in this state and will in the future create lots of energy that we need to export to the rest of the country. Regardless on how you feel on wind power, this is a good taxation model. It's a good business model. Keep in mind that this allows these people to defer this upfront cost over the course of the project. That's what these people need. That's what they want to extend their projects and keep going. So I urge your favorable consideration of the bill and vote this amendment down.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I stepped up here, I hadn't heard the good representative from House District 44 speak, but I'm in tandem with him. I'd urge your defeat of the amendment and support of the bill. 191 is a good bill. It takes care of the upfront costs of cities, towns, and counties. It provides for long-term revenue to the state in that these projects are going to be there for a long time, and we have a higher excise tax revenue than we would have had under anything else.
And I would just suggest to you that as somebody who follows the energy industry, we need it all. We need coal-fired plants. We need gas-fired plants. We need hydroelectric. We need nuclear if it's appropriate, and we need wind power. And I think this encourages that development of that component of our energy portfolio for Wyoming better than anything we've seen. So I'd urge your support of the bill when it gets voted on.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief because I echo the comments of the last two speakers. I'm on against the amendment and for the bill. Two things I'll point out. I'll look at 191 as is taking the severance of wind and turning it into energy, very much like our severance tax. And I realize it's a generation tax, a use tax, but it's something that's long term that'll be there for the future rather than seizing on a short term gain, if that short term gain even exists. And the other thing that I wanted to state with my good colleague across the mountain from House District 40 is I received the 66-page handout last night late. And looking through it, I'm looking at this, and I move forward to slides 47 and 48 where there's a comparison of the base scenario, which was one of five scenarios in that handout, which showed Wyoming being very competitive. But when that's compared to the active, or then the same capacity analysis in that handout, and again, not being highly educated or very well versed on this, I'm seeing that Wyoming, when we look at it actively, is second to last in being competitive. And that is just what we had heard earlier. Wyoming is not competitive to attract that business in. We need to be competitive to grow this business, and we've had a lot of issues before this body on how to do that responsibly, but we need to do that, and then look at setting a tax structure that's there for my children and hopefully my grandchildren, that's for the benefit of the state, much as we've seen the benefit from the severance from the other energies that are produced in this state. Thank you.
Representative Wanser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the amendment against the bill, here's what's going to happen, and here's why I cannot support it. We're going to have a 25-cent tax for 4 years, and then we are going to ask the industry to double that tax. And then it's going to go for a couple of more years, and then once again we're going to ask for a doubling of the tax. I can assure you, with a doubling of the tax, the industry is going to be here with a long, long list of the reasons not to increase that. So if you're thinking that this money is going to show up at the end of this term, I would say it's very, very doubtful. When you start doubling taxes every 4 years on an industry, wow, they're going to come in, and I can guarantee you they'll have a reason why not. So for that reason, Mr. Chairman, I ask for the defeat of the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an interesting bill. We've had some great discussions. We've had some great explanations of what's going on. This was a huge topic in the interim. There were three committees that looked at this, the Wind Energy Task Force, the Revenue Committee, and the Wind Taxation Subcommittee of that Revenue Committee. And, a bill didn't come out of any of those. And so, again, we've got this bill here. It's doing everything that's been discussed. The last speaker mentioned that we're going to see this again when these taxes come into place, and I have no doubt that that's going to show up and be the thing that happens. But again, being on two of these three committees over the interim, I've asked a question at a couple of the committee meetings about the impact of this on the ratepayers of Wyoming. And these ratepayers happen to be my constituents as well as your constituents. And it was a real easy question. Is this power and this renewable energy is being built in Wyoming for these states that have passed these renewable energy portfolios. So I have no problem building them here, providing jobs and infrastructure for Wyoming, and shipping the power out of state as long as they're paying 100% of it. The bottom line is they're not. Your ratepayers, your constituents, are part of the game plan here and are picking up part of the cost. I've asked many, many times to have this clearly defined to figure out exactly how much it is costing my ratepayers, my constituents, for each of these wind turbines that are going up for the benefit of these other states that just love this green energy stuff. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman McComey?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. I'd like to remind the body of one thing. Years ago when we started the coal industry, came to town, and we were trying to deal with that impact, and guess what we did? We said, okay, we're going to charge you 10% severance tax for X number of years to help deal with that impact, then we'll lower it to 7%. And people said, well, they won't come. You know, we're taxing them out of business. Well, they're here. And they really were good neighbors, and they really did good things for us. And they paid this up front, and they weren't back saying, we're going to back this off, and then we'll stage this in. I share the same concerns that have been talked about by the last two speakers. We see it with the ethanol. We see it with all of the taxes. Everything we have a sunset on for some of these tax breaks, when it comes time to sunset it, the sunset is extended. Can you imagine what's going to happen when these taxes start doubling? Same thing. So I'm just really having a problem with this bill. We passed out of here after a lot of study and a lot of things on the last session, some legislation. Now we're coming back and we're saying, well, we just can't, they just won't come here if we don't do this. And I just don't really believe that, ladies and gentlemen. On and for the amendment and against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time before the sponsor? First time?
First time for a second.
Anyone for their second time?
First time for a second.
Okay. Anyone else for their first time? Ready for your second time? Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just talk about reality for just a little bit. Let's bring this back to what's really happening in Wyoming. Reality does not support statements that Wyoming is not competitive. I mean, as soon as we passed that, extended the exemption for the sales tax, it was like the floodgates were opened, at least where I live. And I would maintain that this industry is flourishing where I live. I do not hear comments that we're not competitive. In fact, I hear quite the opposite. And, you know, let's not talk about hypothetical situations, that what we're going to do here, you know, if we vote this down today like we should. Nobody's packing their bags and moving out of Wyoming. We've just got the best wind in the country, and we've got some great windy discussions to go along with it as well, Mr. Chairman. And again, I'd just like to remind you that, you know, I know there's only one of me and 59 of you, and if all of you want to just say, so what, we don't really care whether or not my communities, my citizens get the impact funding, you know, that's part of the process. I'm happy to be here. It's a great opportunity to stand here and be a voice for my citizens and my communities. But I really don't believe that you'll all say that at the end of the day, that I think you're here to represent Wyoming, and you really do care about where I live and my citizens as well as yours. And that this impact assistance money is important to you and to me. And caution here, caution. I mean, we don't have the numbers to prove this, but what I've been told, without this bill being front-loaded with that $15 million, where I come from, there's that where I come from speech, but where I come from, we're going to get shorted on being front-loaded for impact assistance And I just can't stand here and support that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For your second time, Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Second time for the second time. There's three short items I want. This has been a great debate almost fun. But there's three things here that I'd like to have you take with you. You know, the whole issue, you know, I always like to drill down to what is the issue here that's critical to the state of Wyoming. And the critical issue is the front-end money that we are being asked to finance for the industrial siting activities that are required by law. You know, and if we'd had a bill that just said, okay, we're going to set the sales tax so low that it will be just enough to cover the costs as you incur them. You know, then I probably would have been in favor of this. I mean, I would have seen that, yeah, you know, as long as we don't have to show our skin in the game by financing it, and we don't have to have any extra money above and beyond that until they get going good. Then the $3 might work out. But that's where the stumbling block is. Now, why is that such a big deal? You know, I think it's a big deal because, I'm not probably the most astute student of Wyoming business and economic history, but I cannot find another instance where we have gotten in and done something like this before, where we have really gotten into the front-end venture capitalist-type position in any other industry. And I started researching it clear back to railroads, and I never really found another instance where we have done this. Now, the only other thing I want to straighten out is we had on the shady side of the mountain, the good representative to the west of me said that we're not competitive on page 47 or 46 and 47. And I quickly looked at that. That was a what if. It was a scenario that what if the wind quality in Wyoming was the same as the average wind quality for the rest of the states? Then what would be the level bus bar cost in that case? And of course it goes up. And there's no doubt about it. The wind, no matter who measures it, our wind is better. It's not equal to the other states on average. It's better. We've got some. The state to the north of us is pretty close to us, but we don't have anybody that good, or we don't have any states as good as we are when it comes to the quality of the wind, and that drives down our levelized bus bar cost. If we've got wind turbines running 42% of the time instead of 35% of the time, that translates into amortizing these capital costs over. The only other thing is that, you know, the $60 million on this prototypical wind farm front-end cost, it's really not a front-end cost. It's an amortized cost. It includes the interest plus the sales tax on it, if you remember the conversation a little bit earlier. So, again, I support this amendment and resist the bill. Thank you.
For your second time, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things for those of you who this is your first session. A little bit of the history around this issue. The Revenue Committee has struggled with this issue. And the $1 per megawatt tax that you see in place now, that was a placeholder. That's all that was. The Revenue Committee of years past did not come to us and say, you know, we've got this right, we've got it figured out, this is where you need to be. That was simply a placeholder because this is such a complex issue, number one. Secondly, this is the last vehicle we have this session to address this issue. I will tell you, and you probably could gather it from my comments on one of the amendments yesterday, I have a real issue with being a venture capitalist in this as well. And the good representative from House District 40 makes a good point with respect to that. So we have before us a question of, okay, we know we have to address issues with the Industrial Siting Act. We know we have to address issues with regard to impact on the locals. There's a way to do that. I don't personally like what's in there right now on the amendment that was adopted on the $15 million. But I will tell you this. I want this bill to go forward because we still have a half of a session to work with the other chamber and get something that we can all live with. If we throw this out now, we will have basically wasted 1 to 2 years of effort in this area, and we're going to be stuck with what we had before, which is just a placeholder, something we knew none of us were happy with. That's all it was a placeholder. So I would urge you to vote for the bill. Let's get our heads together. Let's figure out how we're going to address the impact issue. Address perhaps, you know, a good idea was brought up. Maybe we look at changing a little bit of the tax structure in this bill to pay the impact assistance as we go along so that we're not a venture capitalist. The good representative from House District 40 just brought that up. But if we kill this bill today, we're not going to have that discussion. We're not going to have the opportunity to get it amended and go to conference on the other side. So I would urge you, let's work together on this, let's keep it alive, and let's see if we can figure out something we can all live with.
For your second time, Representative Stubson.
Thank you. Just real briefly to build on what the good speaker said. There seems to be this discussion that we've turned our backs on our local communities. There was certainly that insinuation. And again, history, remember what we did last year with a detailed, comprehensive regulatory bill that gave counties extensive authority in regulating these very developments. And what did we include in that? I can tell you, as we sat through the task force, counties came to us and said, here's our biggest issues, roads, trash. They listed off about 4 or 5 of them. We included all of those in the bill that we passed last year, and we said, we give you counties the authority to go out and demand that these companies have to enter a road agreement with you before they can ever develop. So if that means they have to rebuild your county roads because they impact them, done. We demanded that they talk to these folks about their trash disposal so that all those costs could be answered and responded to before development already occurred. So we addressed all those. What we're talking about is extraneous impacts. There certainly are. And there certainly are those. But we have addressed them, and I'm certainly the first to admit we can do a better job, but we have addressed them in this bill. This is, in many respects, a last chance to put the cork on this thing before it's out of the bottle, because January 1st, 2012, taxes begin to flow under the current scheme we have. Are we going to be able, given what we've been through this session on this bill, are we going to be able to fix it after that point? I would submit to you that that is highly unlikely. Again, please vote in support of this bill. I think it answers a lot of the questions we've had and is a good move in the right direction.
Second time before the sponsor. Anyone else second time? Chairman Semlich.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Discussion is long, but the question is important. And to push back a little about the dollar that we have now with the sales tax exemption going off, to say that it was just a placeholder, well, I submit to you that we had 10 different scenarios that your Joint Revenue Committee and your subcommittee has considered. We gave that extensive work. And the reason that we weren't compelled to change anything is because we didn't believe that there was anything out there better than what we already had. Now, you know, I kind of resist that notion that we just drop this in the bucket. Let's just keep this here until we have a better idea. We spent months and hours of meetings trying to come up with something better. And the fact is that we didn't. And the reason is Wyoming is an exceptional place for wind development. It has the highest net capacity factor of any state in the region. Wind development will occur in this state, and while wind development occurs, we will allow revenues to flow to local governments in the appropriate fashion that we need to, and we will allow wind development to occur at a fair and reasonable rate. And there is, I just think that you know, the notion that wind developers are going to leave the state because, you know, if we don't pass this bill, it just seems a little. I mean, just you come to your own conclusion. We worked very hard on this bill for months on wind taxation, Wyoming. In 11 and a half hour, we have this deal coming in, and we're saying we've got to pass it. I submit to you, we've worked very hard on this issue. The placeholder works fine for the reasons that we've all talked about. And, Mr. Chairman, at this point, I will withdraw third reading amendment number one to House Bill 191.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 191 has been withdrawn. House Bill 191 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Fawner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers. Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
No.
Harshman. Harshman. Harvey. Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway. Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Peterson excused. Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe. Simlick.
No.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Cheaters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunish.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 29 ayes, 29 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 191 having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 191 has failed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. There'll be a test on economics tax policy tomorrow morning. Please study pages 45 to 67 in your handout. Be prepared to reproduce the wind O&M cost charts. The scores are important on your economics teacher assessments. With that, I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m.